You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump in, we want to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. I think I've gotten it down to about 18 seconds. I can take that thing down. It's unbelievable. Got the new one, still playing with it. It's unbelievable. I love the little clip on to your shirt that you can kind of run the machine from. It's awesome. My son loves that one. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. If you're sick of Zoom calls, if you're sick of, you know, diving everywhere and looking for what you need, our roadmap will help you become a better basketball coach. There's lots of great resources out there, but a lot of them are run by people that are college coaches or aren't teaching stats all day and then jump into the gym and have to deal with the everyday things 24/7 that a high school coach or a youth coach has to deal with. So come over, let me help you become a better basketball coach, teachhoops.com. Let's head off to the podcast. So I was reading your intro before we came on, and I'm very intrigued by some of the things, especially the Mike Miller thing. But before we jump into that, Coach Mathis, I'm going to have you introduce yourself and kind of tell your basketball journey. I always think this is important. I've done it for maybe a couple years at least, kind of started the podcast this way. Just kind of tell, you know, how you got into this great game and how we got to the point where we're sitting and talking right now. So I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay. First off, my name is Dante Mathis, and I'm the current head varsity boys basketball coach at Brentwood Christian School. And that's here in Austin, Texas. And so I recently relocated here. I was living in Houston for the longest. And
So I have friends that live in California, and they said there's being a mass exodus to Austin.
Yeah, it is. It's California without the ocean, man. That's all it is. That's what it's turning into. Like day by day. That's all it is.
Okay, so the question is it cheaper?
No, listen. Listen, Austin is ripping off everyone from the West and the East Coast, man. Housing, everything is just going up because we're getting all these Californians that are willing to pay whatever for anything.
Well, that happens. So I'm in Madison, which is west of Milwaukee, and we're about 2 hours north of Chicago. Well, that's happened ever since I've lived in Madison. So you get Chicago people to move up and go, oh, God, I can, you know, they have a two-bedroom apartment that's worth $700,000 in Chicago. It's like,
exactly.
What do you mean? I can get a sprawling estate in Wisconsin. Yeah, you can.
Exactly, man. Exactly. And it's just once you've seen that and you're like, well, wait a minute, that's not worth that. Right. But that's a completely different story. But I love it here. You know, I'm married. I have two boys, a 14-year-old, 10-year-old. And so The position that I'm in now allowed me the chance to kind of really balance my passions. And so, I've been
telling me you're an AP stat. So two things before, tell me about the Austin basketball scene before we jump in.
The Austin basketball scene is a little weird. It's in Texas, Houston and Dallas kind of dominate. And then you have the Central Texas region, which is San Antonio, Austin, probably to Waco. That's kind of your basketball hard hat area, you know. Everyone kind of flocks to Dallas and Houston for the talent. But what will happen is along that Central Texas strip, I'd say it's lukewarm, you know. And so every now and then you'll have your prospects or you'll have this amazing talent that comes out of those areas. But Dallas right now is just it's really dominating in terms of the development and everything, you know.
Yeah, it's like Chicago and Milwaukee. I mean, but the thing is, you look at all the great players that have come out of Wisconsin recently. That's the hard hat area. It's like, it's like they're Midwest kids, man. They're just they're gonna like, you know.
And some of these areas too, like you just mentioned, I think the kids have a little bit more of a chip on their shoulder because they don't get the attention and the hype that maybe a Dallas gets or a Houston. So sometimes
Tyler Hero is a prime example of that. You know.
Oh, listen, my son's 14, and so we just played his organization in like Florida, like last week, and so I got a chance to see Tyler's dad coaching. No joke, man.
I'm telling you, man. It's crazy. But it's like, it's all those guys. It's like, he wasn't even Mr. Basketball in our state. You know, it's like, but all that stuff motivates. And I coached Wesley Matthews, who played for the Mavs for a while. And he wasn't even drafted. I think he's had a 13-year career because he wasn't drafted. What are you talking about? I can't play. Like,
for sure.
You know,
you never let go of that either. You know, you never let go of that. So I think that's a great component to have, I think, as a player. And so, you know, when I grew up, I grew up in San Antonio, Texas. I was blessed to be able to play on one of the greatest teams ever, pretty much in Texas in high school. And that was only because the coach, whose name is Stan Bonowitz, he was a Hall of Fame coach. And so he kind of put the seeds in us early. So we were sixth grade. He'd come by and make his rounds in his Bronco, and he'd pick us all up. We'd jump in the back. We'd go up to open gym. We hung on everything that the older guys did. And that was kind of when the basketball culture was a little bit more pure. You know, we couldn't wait to get to high school to play for him.
Literally thought that my high school team.
Yeah.
Like the Bucks or the Bulls or something. I mean, that's who I wanted to play. Like that high school coach told me to run through a wall, and I would have done it at that age.
Sure, we were proud to. Yeah, we were proud to.
I know.
But he kind of introduced me to the passion for me with the game. He taught us the right way to play, and that was the only thing that was ever reinforced. And then, you know, right way to play. And then after that, hey, your talent, you know, who you really are as a player. Okay, that kind of rounds you off. And so I had dreams of playing in college, playing Division I basketball. And that's when, based on how my high school team did, I had the pleasure of meeting Mike Miller. And so he recruited me going to Texas State. But back then it was called Southwest Texas State.
Okay.
And so.
And where is that located?
That's in San Marcos. And so if you look at the map of Texas, you have San Antonio, you have Austin. Right. San Marcos is a college town, like smack in the middle of Austin and San Antonio. Yeah, so it's about 40 minutes outside of San Antonio.
That's listening, especially people that don't live in the U.S. that are listening.
Oh, yeah.
Driving across Texas is literally like, well, first of all, the only thing I can drive, it's similar to, is starting in northern Illinois and driving to southern Illinois.
It might be right. It'll change your perspective on life, man.
Oh my God. East to west in Texas is like, are we still in Texas? What are you talking about?
It's really, really bad if you make the drive. Like, it's bad. I'll get a big bag of sunflower seeds and I'll start. And by the time I hit the state line, my mouth is numb, man. Like, it's just that long.
I know. There's really no perspective on it. Like, and the thing is, like, I went to school out east. It's like, you can go from one state to the next state in literally like a blink of an eye. Like, you go from Vermont to New Hampshire to Massachusetts. Oh, that took an hour. Like, and then you start driving across Texas. It's like, Like, you better have a couple of days. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, you have to really plan a trip. But it's, that's just Texas, man. So right. I get a little spoiled when I go out to the East Coast because everything is so close.
Right.
And but, you know, hey, Texas, like, there's also a lot of land. There's a lot of players. There's a ton of players. So it's great. But I had a really good experience at Southwest Texas. I learned the game at that next level from Mike Miller and his staff. And it just seemed like I think for a player, you know, the perfect staff, and then also as a player, like eliminating a lot of the white noise, I guess, that's maybe around you, it just allowed for the development to really settle in for me. And so I had a chance to kind of earn, you know, my minutes there. And I just literally, man, I did it by just keeping my mouth shut and just listening and observing.
Right.
And, you know, what works, okay, I apply it. What turned them off, hey, man, I didn't do that. And it was literally that simple. And then also, you know, with the effort that you put into it, you know, that's the easiest way to earn respect from a coach.
Well, and I think coaches, that players don't realize that they're always watching. And it's like, it's the grinders. It's the, yeah. like,
yeah,
it's the lunch pail guys, man, that really make, yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah.
That was the same way. It was like, I was just going to outwork you. I mean, I wasn't going to outflash you. I was just going to outwork you.
Well, there's a personal satisfaction of that also, yeah. because even if I didn't win, I was at peace with myself because I know, you know what? I gave a certain type of effort, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. But so then what happened after that? So what did you major in?
I majored in psychology and then also communication studies.
Okay.
And so, but, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. My passion was next level, next level, next level.
Yep.
So one of my assistant coaches is a guy named Doug Novsek. And he was real instrumental. And so when I was a sophomore, he pulled me in his office and he said, hey, man, you know, I don't know if you understand this, but you can make some money playing this game. But they just gave me a blueprint, you know, and as a young player and being even young, you have to kind of mature into kind of learning how to manipulate your gifts, how to applicate, you know, how to your off the court habits. And so all that just settled for me. And I was with a great group of guys who really has shaped and influenced my life and gave me the opportunity to have this really, really, really good career at the next level. You know, I got to play for some awesome coaches and some amazing countries. And based on how those guys treated me and the effect, that kind of transitioned my passion into coaching and affecting kids through this game.
So explain the roadmap. Explain the roadmap that they gave you. What would that entail?
Like, well, Coach Miller was very, he was put together, man. And so I'm talking, I was a 17-year-old, about to turn 18-year-old going on campus. I'd go in his office and literally everything would be perfect, perfect, perfect. And I would be like, goodness gracious, this guy's detail freak, you know. Right. But that was like just a success. But the roadmap was the way to play. What's attractive? Hey, man, you don't need this, discard that in your game. And then also it's the player development, because that's where I think relationships with coaching staffs and players are really developed. Because if you can teach a player how to eat, you know,
right,
how to feed himself, and then he has success with it, he's going to crave more knowledge.
Right.
You know, and it's dependent on the player, but I just think that their message, their structure, and then even their attention to detail in terms of X's and O's, it gave everyone a chance to be successful.
So to explain, so what's the biggest takeaway from playing at the next level?
Hey everybody, hope you're enjoying the podcast. Please subscribe and like, no matter where you listen to podcasts, whether you're jogging, walking the dogs, walking the kids, playing at the pool, go over and subscribe. Apple would be great, 5-star. If you're going to do a 2-star, don't do it. Spotify or wherever you listen. We would also love if you went over to teachhoops.com. It's what allows us to keep the lights on here and keep things at chugging. So go over and check that out. 14-day free trial. You know, everyone's got to work on their game and their craft. Come over and help us. And then the last thing is, if you're thinking of looking for other podcasts, go over and check out High School Hoops and Teacher Side Gig. Those are two other ones. And we might have a fourth one in the tank, but we'll tease you on that one. All right, let's head back to the podcast.
Probably this is what, when I've talked to Wesley and the other guys that have played professionally, it's basically, first of all, it's a job. That's what people
do.
But you have to be self-motivated. Like, you have to work out. Yeah, all that.
Yeah.
What would be your takeaway from that?
Well, the biggest thing also is that the work that you've done, I think until that point, it has to turn into the ultimate confidence in your skill set. And you've got to be able to kind of flex that every day. That's one of the biggest things that I noticed, like, as a rookie going in. And so I, years and years ago, and I'm going to tell my age, but they had this league called the USBL. And it was kind of like this summer deal that you played in before you went and did whatever. But I got a chance to play with a lot of seasoned guys, Artie Griffin, Darren Hancock, Antonio Smith, played at Michigan State, Sean Colson, NBA. And it gave me a chance to see these guys and their persona. You know, sometimes, you know, when they walked in the gym, their persona came in before them. And it was like this confidence that they had. And then also, like you mentioned, it was a business. So their workouts, you know, they were working out with a specific person, with a specific purpose in mind. And so, like you talk about Wesley Matthews, I'm sure all his workouts, I'm sure he goes back and he revisits, you know, oh man, when they, you know, he's still got a little bit of that in him, you know, and that kind of fuels him to do what he wants to do. But at the next level, everyone is so good. The only thing that kind of separates is it's just how mentally you're able to manipulate it, how quick you're able to do it, how consistent you are. Right. And then from there, it kind of just sets the table for you to be consistent or either inconsistent.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, so explain the, how you went from the graduating or end of college to the European or playing professional.
What I did.
And did you have an agent?
Yeah. I signed with an agency and I signed with a big agency at first, a huge agency. And I thought, okay, well, hey, the bigger the agency, the better the connection. But the one thing that I didn't factor in is that with every agency, there's kind of a totem pole of priority. And so your higher earners, obviously, those are the priority guys, you know, and
right.
guys with, you know, I had a mid-major on my resume, but right. a guy that maybe had UNC or maybe had Duke, you know, that guy would have maybe been perceived, okay, as a little bit higher. And so I kind of had to learn the business that way and what a good agent actually means for a player, you know, and it's not a guy that calls you every day. It's not a guy, you know, for the new schoolers, it's not a guy that reposts your picture every day. It's a guy that has connections, valid connections. He has a valid network that can get you and what you do well in an adequate situation.
And how do they get paid? They get paid when you get paid.
The agents get paid when you get paid. And so in the NBA, I think now it's like 4-6% was like the norm.
Okay.
But the agencies now are different because they do more with marketing and advertising. But in Europe, the agents get 10% of your contract.
Okay.
And so depending on what type of player you are, if you have a European agent or an American agent, it's I think that if you have if you're going to play in Europe, it's best to have the guy with the best connections in Europe. If you're going to play in the States, then, hey, have the guy who has the best connections in the States.
Right.
So that way you don't have to worry about an agent, you know, dealing through time change. He's got to send this, an email. We got to wait. Everything will be in real time in terms of, hey, this team's making, you know, they're making a change now, and I think you'd be a good fit.
Okay.
But I listened and worked out with a lot of older guys that were very successful. And, you know, I was always one. I wasn't bashful to try to steal some knowledge.
Right.
So with asking these guys, hey, man, well, this is what I want to do. Of course, everyone wants to make the NBA. But, you know, you realize how difficult that really is. You know,
that's crazy. It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's really, really crazy. And so, and it's crazy because there's some guys on an NBA bench that maybe they wouldn't dominate the summer league in their town, but they're the best fit for that NBA team.
Right. That's what, there's a couple things that people don't understand. First of all, they bring something that they need.
Exactly.
Footer, maybe it's somebody that's not going to get in trouble. Maybe it's whatever.
Exactly.
But I tell some of the players that I've had that have had those aspirations. It's like there's 1,000 of you and one of you is going to make it. Now, are the other 999 probably good enough? I mean, there's 1,000 point guards. Not enough. There's probably 50 point guards as good as Trae Young. Trae Young is very good. Don't get me wrong. But he has something that they don't have. He has something like work at. He has that one thing that those other 49 don't have.
Yeah, he has that it factor, you know?
Something. There's something. Yeah. And I've never been able to quantify what it is.
Yeah.
But it's like there's guys not playing in the NBA that are good enough right now to play in the NBA.
For sure.
And they'll never play in the NBA. Yeah.
100%. And so you learn that as you mature, you know, and but like I said, leaning on the advice of like older guys, they say, well, hey, if you're going to go over here and spend 9 to 10 months out of the year, you need to be in a reputable situation. You need to be in a professional situation. You need to be in a situation where, I guess, the value of who you are as a player, you're not going to lose value. And so sometimes what will happen is, like with agencies or even with other teams or countries, they look at certain situations kind of as a stamp. So best advice that I ever, you know, received was, is that, hey, you know, chase credible situations. And so the guys told me, hey, if you're going to play in Europe, hey, man, play in Spain, play in Italy. You know, hey, Greece is a great league, but be careful over there because the financials are always kind of weird.
Right.
And so that's exactly what I did. I just took that advice as a rookie. You know, I had to go to Germany in the first league to kind of prove myself. Because the bigger teams, you know, before they gamble on you, you have to prove yourself on the court.
And if you don't, they send you home right away, right?
And listen, games are every Sunday. If you're not handling your business, there will be a guy in the gym the next day shaking hands with everybody, you know, and that's just how it is. It's
right. That's what a lot of these young guys don't understand, too. It's like, if you don't perform and like, you're going home. Like
You're exactly. You're going home really, really, really quick.
Right.
But you know, the thing though is that, you know, a lot of the components that you mentioned earlier, having a chip on your shoulder, I think when you get your basketball credibility, you know, if you get it a little bit later, if you get your just do a little bit later, it turns into the perfect alignment, you know, for you developing as a player. Sometimes, you know, you get a lot of guys that get hype early, and what happens is it hurts them,
right?
Because you know, that hype, that the feeling of that hype when you've got to really grind and you really got to work through some things. You know, you're playing on the road, you've got a three-game losing streak. They're talking about firing guys, firing the coach, and this and that. You've got to have a little something to you that will allow you to balance that and then at the same time continue to play well.
Right. You know? And that's the issue too, is like the great ones can take being ranked, quote, I'm putting for people listening in quotation marks, ranked number 3 point guard in the country. Yeah. And they can put that and they put it in a box over here and they're relevant to them.
For sure.
It's irrelevant. I mean, either they're pissed that they're not number one or it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
And it's like, even if they get to number one, they're not satisfied because they want to be an all-star. They want to be you know, somebody they talk about. It's like, they want to be Michael Jordan, which is crazy. I was talking to one of my assistants last night. It's like, okay, so Michael Jordan was when I was growing up.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That was 30, 40 years ago. That'd be like Wilt Chamberlain, like my generation being in the gym going, I'm Wilt Chamberlain. Because the guys were doing like a Michael thing from the free throw line yesterday. They were trying to do like the Michael dunk thing. I go, stop it. You're going to hurt yourself. Like, what are you talking about? But that they're talking about Michael Jordan, like he's up at this weird level.
Yeah.
Well, the great ones want to be, you know, Elon Musk. They want to be Bezos. They want to be, you know, running a business. Like, and that's hard because human nature is like to take that ranking and think like be a peacock, like look at me.
But you were spot on though. And so like from studying, I guess some of the greater talented players, what they did was they actually have a great sense to equate the work and the grind as the reason for the ranking. And so what happens is that a lot of players, you know, they think that they're entitled to the ranking. Hey, you know what? I was 6'7" in the eighth grade. Well, guess what? You're going to get ranked. But if you're not working, you know what I'm saying? If each level up, you don't change like the goal. You know, what will happen is that, you know, I think you won't get the majority of your talent out of yourself. And so the great ones, they really, really do that. You know, hey, they want to be a starter in college, D1. They do that. They want to go to the NBA. They want to be all rookie. They do that. Okay, they want to be an all-star. Boom, they do that. And so the goal, I think, it just keeps changing and it keeps moving up. And so you're talking about for a guy that's that talented, I think they need that to kind of continue.
It's kind of like acting. You're never, like the great actors are never satisfied with the last performance.
Perfect, yeah.
They're
perfect.
Always like, you know, great, I won an Oscar, but I'm, you know, and I'm Al Pacino, but whatever. I'm not satisfied. Mm-hmm. I want the next great role.
Yes.
That's what the great ones are always like. Trae Young is trying to, or Jan, they're always trying, you know. I'm sure Giannis is going to obviously have to rehab, hopefully, but have to work on his free throw. I mean, those things, they're not satisfied with that. Like, you know, that they're always working on those specific things. What was the hardest transition from end of that to what you're doing now?
You know, it was, I started preparing for the end of it maybe about a couple of years before it actually happened. And, you know, I took advice on the front end of my career and I took advice on the back end of my career. And so what happens is, you know, when you get like 33-ish, maybe.
I know that's Wesley. I'm worried about like, oh my God. It's like, he's getting near the end. He never.
How old is Wesley? How old is Wesley, more or less?
Got to be 33, right? He graduated high school in 2005. So that'd be 16. It's like 33, 34. So, you know, he's got maybe one or two more contracts, one or two years contracts left in him.
For sure.
But it's like, the problem, this is what I always think about with all these guys, is what's your exit plan? He's got enough money for the rest of his life, but you're not going to sit around and count your money for the next 50 years. Like what are you going to do?
Days don't move as well when you don't have a plan. And, you know, it's the my exit plan was I wanted to find where I could take and put the passion I had for working out. Because I was compulsive about it. I was every single day. I was always trying to make sure that I was just, but to be honest with you, I put so much in it that when the time came for me to kind of step away, I was great because I had spent so much energy. Hey, I guess what? I could, you know what, man? I could have a soda, you know?
What I tell people too, it's like, I've been coaching for 32 years. I can see the end in the end. End line, and I'm going to be okay. I mean, if you'd have told me that when I was 28, I would have been like, oh my God, my life would have been crashing down. It's like, so I think the exit plan is important in everything. And I think you have to know that it will be okay, but that, you know, you have to have something else to be able to do. And when I gave up at the end of my college career, I wasn't going to go play anywhere. I was just done. I was a Division III basketball player, but I was okay. I was ready to be done. Like I'd been playing since I was six.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, but I wanted to put it I wanted to put it somewhere else. Like all that love needed to be channeled somewhere else.
For sure.
And for sure. I mean, that's what I think, you know, all the skills that I had to do to get to that point.
Yeah.
Great. But now how can I channel it? I think that's a great
thing. And that's the thing too. Like you have a lot of time to think and reflect too. I think,
hey, everybody, if you like the podcast, make sure you subscribe, like, leave a review, jump up and down, run around your house, whatever you need to do. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.